Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
Well, since you guys were talking about what you could talk a whole show about, I could talk about a whole show about what a absolutely disgusting, worthless Merrick Garland is.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the big news of the week we could start with, is that Attorney General Merrick Garland took the stand in a House
and
Judicial
lied.
Committee hearing.
And just lied.
And perjured himself.
Yeah, for like a long time. Lied the whole time.
They grilled him. Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
I would
He's
like to
lied. He's a lying liar.
I would like to ask him. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't talk to anybody. He's not responsible for anything. It's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, okay.
Why are you the Attorney General? Just go home.
Here's the new meeting. Do this one simple thing for me, Mr. Garland. Justify your paycheck to me. What do you do?
Yeah.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question.
How? How can you not?
Here's what I told Dad. Here's what I told Dad last night. Here's what I told Dad. If you just insert the word "precomposed" into that, it makes it a true statement. He forgot what he was supposed to say to that specific question. He was coached through all of this.
I can't remember
what I'm supposed to say.
The answer that I was told to give.
That's what he's saying when he says, "I cannot recollect the answer to that question." Because he had an answer to that question told to him before. He just doesn't remember.
But then there's part where they talk about, you know, being the president's lawyer, or in his statement, he says, as the president himself has said, I reaffirm here today, I'm not the president's lawyer. And this is in his opening statement when he's saying, we don't have two sets of laws for, you know, the powerful and the regular. And then, yeah. And he said, and I will also add that I'm not Congress's prosecutor. So, but basically he said a bunch of stuff, but we know that so stop acting like the president's lawyer.
Would you like to hear the moment that he perjured himself? Well, not, he perjured himself the whole time, but would you like to hear when Jim Jordan calls him out on it?
Sure.
Did not recognize himself. Quote, Mr. Weiss has full authority to bring cases in other jurisdictions if he feels it's necessary. That was your response, Attorney General, to Senator Grassley's question on March 1st, 2023. You just referenced it when Mr. Bishop was questioning you. Only problem is he'd already been turned down by the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, Mr. Graves. So he didn't have full authority, did he?
I had an extended conversation with Senator Grassley at the time. We briefly touched on the Section 515 question and how that process went. I've never been suggested.
My point's real simple, Mr. Garland. You said he had complete authority, but he'd already been turned down. He wanted to bring an action in the District of Columbia, and the U.S. attorney there said, no, you can't. And then you go tell the United States Senate under oath that he has complete authority.
I'm going to say again that no one had the authority to turn him down. They could refuse to partner with him. They could not.
You can use whatever language. Refuse to partner is turning down.
Perjury.
Yeah, that's so bizarre that They refused to partner with him. Oh, you mean they turned him down? I mean, it's just...
No, they didn't turn him down. They just refused. They just said no.
Yeah. What I'm trying to remember, and I was trying to find it, I can't find it, but he was asking about communicating. Can you guarantee that you've not communicated concerning this Hunter Biden?
Sure. That would be cool, but that's never going
to
happen.
Yeah, I know it's
also,
never going to happen, but...
Also, we would lose.
Well, yeah, I know.
That would just mean that we would lose.
Okay, but here's my other question. Is there, and for every business meeting organization, there is a certain number of people, members, whatever, council members, board, required.
Do you think,
to have a
quorum of the nation?
Yeah. Do we have a minimum of participation to establish a quorum in this country?
I don't think so. I mean, that's not in the rules, at least.
Not that I'm aware of, but maybe it should be at least a third of the country has to show up and vote in order for it to be a quorum.
I'm not 100% sure that happens now. Or
no,
at least
I
it
know.
Didn't before the last couple of elections.
A third is probably pretty high.
Yeah, we're not even near that if you count the
illegals. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. We are essentially somewhere between 330 and 350 million people, and 81 million people voted for Joe Biden. So that's 240 million people. A third of, you know. So, yeah.
What is?
80 million is one third of 240 million.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that we certainly had a third of the population show up and vote in the last election.
Okay.
Trump got how many? Trump got what, 80 million? That's 160 million.
Higher 70s.
Okay, so we had almost 160 million
like
people.
Really
vote.
High 70s, 79.
That's almost 50% of the country.
Okay.
And that's not even, and that's even much higher percentage of the adult population. 18 and above. So yeah, we could hit
right.
that.
True, true.
I forgot yeah. it. You have to. It has to be the, of the voting. But,
and would it be of population. The national like people eligible to vote, or would it be of registered voters?
It should be registered voters. In which case, it'd be even easier.
Right.
Yeah.
However, that law does not exist.
No, it doesn't.
Should it exist?
No, but I'm not Maybe. Opposed to a quorum requirement.
It'd be another great tool. For us to basically say, you know, we're not doing this.
Yeah, like what if you could actually vote no confidence?
Yeah, some option for the country to say, you know, we got a problem with what's being presented to us.
I actually believe there are people who would vote no confidence if your options were Trump, Biden.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was an option on the ballot.
Yes, I agree.
Start over. No confidence.
Yeah,
start over.
No. We're not choosing between.
Would we become Israel, where they like are electing a prime minister every like 6 months? It feels like for a while there.
Okay.
Yeah. But
honestly,
not,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing would get done.
The less they get done, the better off we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I don't want to have to choose between, you know, horse crap and pig crap. All right. It's not really an option. You know,
I'm gonna go no confidence on that one. I'm gonna pass.
I've been thinking about this recently that DeSantis is falling in the polls, and I guess in New Hampshire he's really plummeted. He's in like fifth place behind Chris Christie. How insane
How?
Is that?
How is that possible?
Well, Chris Christie doesn't he like only have support in New Hampshire?
Probably. But he dropped. What was the number from like 20? DeSantis dropped from like 26% to 6%.
That's crazy. I don't understand. How
I don't understand
possible.
That. But in thinking of all that, here's the bigger picture. Everybody that's getting in the race against Donald Trump this time around, there was no point. There was no point for a single person to enter the race on the Republican side other than Donald Trump. He was essentially nominated the minute that America decided that the last election was rigged.
But did you hear Trump's recent interview with Megyn Kelly?
Yes, and that really irritates
Wasn't
me.
Great.
That makes me
Wasn't
so
good.
Mad. You want to know what really makes me
what
mad?
What irritates me is now that he's saying that she was nasty to him. Dude, I'd have been a lot harder on you than she
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Lockdown
he knows that,
Don.
Too. He knows Megyn Kelly going into it. He knows what it's going to be like, you know?
It's not her fault that he couldn't come up with a yeah. coherent answer on can a man become a woman? No.
Or and not he said some recent things not good on abortion, and he just like doubled down. He can't admit a wrong in the COVID stuff.
No.
This is where I don't understand why Ron DeSantis is not doing better. He did an interview with Glenn Beck, and then he clipped it and put it and tweeted it out, X'd it, whatever the heck that is now. And he, Glenn Beck says, can a man become a woman? And Ron DeSantis goes, no, of course not. It's ridiculous that we're even asking this question. And he posted it to his Twitter and said, it's that easy. And I don't see how you look at the two of them. And I know his campaign is being run terribly, but he's so good that it shouldn't matter. But people are,
this is what,
and that just, I lose so much faith in everyone when this I is see... why
I said that Trump was essentially nominated the moment America decided the last election was rigged. Don't you think?
Yeah. For especially for, you know, the MAGA crowd, but I don't think that it even matters. You would have some MAGA people, if Trump did win the last election, still willing to change the rules to make it so he could serve a third.
Okay, I need you guys to rescue me. I actually started toying yesterday with the idea of just not voting. I don't care anymore. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, I agree with that, except this time around, we have an actual example of what Biden did and what the Democrats have done. So this is probably the last one that I would do, because if a Democrat wins in this one, then I know for sure.
Yeah.
But I still definitely think that we need to this time. To at least see if the pendulum swings back.
If this one somehow
would definitely be the test. If Democrats win, it is not real.
Right. And the Democrats realize that they've got a real problem with Joe Biden. They don't know if they can cheat enough to get Joe Biden elected.
But I don't think that it would matter. Unless the whole Michelle Obama thing happens, results could actually be real. And it would
be
horrible.
If you're Michelle Obama, why would you want that job?
I agree.
I think the biggest reason why they don't want, would Michelle Obama probably win if she joined the race? Unfortunately, yes. However, Obama wants to distance himself visually from this because I still think he's the one pulling the strings. So because he's the one pulling the strings, they don't want to put Michelle in office and say, yeah, I definitely am.
Yeah, everybody already thinks he's pulling the strings
now. Everyone already thinks he is. Can you imagine how much worse it would be if Michelle Obama was in the White House? It would be that, you know.
But here's the thing, though, Cade. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying, but does it matter? They're getting what they want. This is what they want. So this isn't a mistake.
Doesn't matter.
They're not doing a bad job. They're doing this intentionally.
Remember, I told you yesterday that if all these people being questioned by Congress went up there and instead of lying, they said, yep, we're doing it, I don't think it would matter. If Merrick Garland had said, yeah, I've been talking to both the Biden campaign and Hunter's legal team, and we're coordinating. I don't know if it would change.
No, they would say, well, of course he has to because the Republicans are so crazy going after Hunter. So, yes, they would find a way to excuse it.
He would say, is it a conflict of interest? Yes. Is it illegal? I don't know. Prove it. But I didn't perjure myself. And if I did perjure myself, you wouldn't do anything. I mean, you could sit there and you could say that confidently, nothing would happen.
Yeah, so
I'm convinced it's that bad.
It's like I said, though, with Obama, let's say Michelle Obama got elected, and does he really need to distance himself that much? Everybody already thinks he's pulling the strings for the Biden administration, and he's going far more, you know, to the left than he was when he was actually in office. And it doesn't matter because this is what they want, and it's not a mistake.
If he started publicly telling jokes about it, then when people on the right started saying, look what's happening, they'll be like, no, that was just a joke. Because that's what they would do. It's like, okay, there's this show that was on, there was the show on TV back in the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, it's called Arsenio Hall.
No, called Stargate.
Did you see that? Okay.
No. And in Stargate, basically, a show or something comes out about the Stargate, and they determine that it's a good thing because now anybody who really discovers this top secret government program can be written off as a crazy person who bought too much into a fictional television show. That is what the jokes that Obama would tell about his wife being the president now and him really pulling the strings would turn into. It'd be like, no, they're falling for just, it's just satire, which we know the left can't do, satire. But that's what they would say. It's just satire, and they have fallen for the satire. They are crazy conspiracy theorists.
I just want to know if Obama would be willing to refer to Michelle as Big Mike for the joke.
That'd be worth it.
Yeah.
I got Big Mike's wearing an earpiece, and I'm just calling the shots over here with my buddy Sinclair in the basement. We're doing crack.
Here's something I heard today that typifies this for me. Chicago now has like this really large percentage, I forget the number now, of people that live more than a mile away from a grocery store, supermarket, because they're pulling out because they can't make a profit. And there was one company that said, we haven't turned a profit since we started our first store 17 years ago.
What?
We have never turned a profit. And so you think, well, this is crazy. They got to start prosecuting criminals. Otherwise, they're going to be in a food desert, one of their new terms. And the person was making the point, no, that's not true. This is an excuse for them, for the government to come in and to run this. That's what they want. It's not a mistake.
Did you see that they're talking about doing that, though?
Yes, they're exploring
state-run grocery stores.
Do you go back and look up
when I read
pictures
that article
of the Soviet Union grocery situation in the 60s and 70s?
Go look at a grocery store in North Korea right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, think about it. They don't want you to eat meat, right? All these things that they don't want you to have. Well, if they're in control of the grocery stores, they got it. You're going to go in and you're going to get to choose between locusts and grasshoppers and fish worms. And I mean, that's what's going to be on the shelf.
Do you think that the government will crack down on stealing from government stores? That, I would laugh.
There you'll be able to shoot on sight.
They have a Chicago Food Equity Council.
A Food Equity Council?
What does that even mean? Why do you have a council for it? What was it the president of, or someone that's up for election somewhere in South America that they played on Pac Ray this morning that was saying, like, if he gets elected, he was like, this committee, get rid of it. This committee, it's gone. This one, gone. That one, gone. And he's just like listing all this crazy stuff.
That's funny.
It was.
In what country?
I don't remember. Somewhere in South America.
Sounds like a good
and they
country.
Were playing it on Pat Gray this morning.
Sounds like a good country.
No, it sounds like one that has too many programs and he's getting rid of them all.
Yeah.
If he gets elected.
Did you guys see, speaking
like
of South America, did you see.
Talking about the president of Brazil thing?
Yes, when Lula got mad at Biden because Biden just.
Visibly mad.
Yeah, visibly mad. He just like waves his hand at him like, because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, he also came out like on stage in front of him when he wasn't even like announced yet.
Yeah, but then when he
shake
was leaving
his hand.
At the clue, he shook the one guy's hand and then
he didn't
shake,
know which one of them is the president
and then
of Brazil.
Just walked off. Yeah,
he couldn't have said if you asked him which one of these men is the president of Brazil, he'd be like.
Did you hear the clip where he starts off and it literally is like, let me be clear. Did you hear that one?
No.
He literally starts off just mumbling, I want to be, let me be clear.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, be clear then. Don't speak gibberish.
I wish we had a real president meeting with the president of Brazil right now. Because you know how like Brazil has been, you know, an ally.
Well, they're aligning with China big time
I know.
Right now.
If I were the if we had a real president there right now, I would not even like professionally on the stage in front of everyone. I would go, "Hey, what's up with this BRICS thing? What's that about?" You're like, "I'm gonna probably put sanctions on you."
We, Cade, the reason that they're doing this is because we no longer have the power to intimidate these people.
Oh, yeah, but we would if we had a real president.
If we had a real president, yeah. If we had a real president, they wouldn't be doing it.
Produce everything. Guess what? You want to do BRICS? Sanctioned. You want to sell literally anything from Brazil here? No, because we have it ourselves now. See
if we had a real president, they wouldn't be doing BRICS. They wouldn't be moving off of the US.
Can't imagine being on stage with one of the leaders of one of those countries and not asking, what's up with BRICS? What's that about? Get that out of here.
So they're, yeah, one of the great indicators when they talk about, the economy is doing better, and well, they're not lowering the interest rate. Here's how you know. This is just
They're not lowering the interest rate.
Here's just
coming from someone who has to buy a house.
This is a dead giveaway for the economy is not doing better. They're increasing, and they probably are going to increase again, the percentage that of interest that they're willing to pay on government bonds. Because they got to get more money, and nobody wants to buy them because they're not. If I bought a government bond, I wouldn't expect to ever see my return on it. So
well,
what do they have to do?
Not only would you not see your return, but based on the interest rate they gave you, that has to at least meet inflation, or I didn't make anything.
Right. And
and I'm sorry, but with the way things are going right now, one of those is what? What do they give you? Interest rate wise on like a 10-year bond,
like 4 to 5%.
That doesn't meet inflation.
No, I know.
You will lose money.
No, inflation.
That's what the whole run on the banks thing
over
was.
The course of Biden's presidency.
Isn't that what the whole run on the banks was about? Is that inflation had outpaced the interest that they were going to earn on all these, so they tried to sell them real quick, and then people found out about it and took all their money out of the bank.
Yeah,
that's.
Like the Silicon Valley Bank and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, but so they can go through all the histrionics explaining the financial situation in our country they want, but none of it, the only thing you have to do is look at, well, what are they paying on government bonds? That tells you whether the economy is getting stronger or weaker, and it says it's getting weaker, we're in more trouble, because they're willing to pay a higher and higher rate.
What happens if we institute some things that will cause deflation? Can we do that? Is that how it works? Can you just reverse it?
Here's the thing. Here, do you want to know what is intended to create deflation? Higher interest rates. However, you cannot at the same time increase interest rates to soak up all the money while dumping more money into everything else. You can't do both things at the same time.
Yeah,
and if
but
you do,
it just slows inflation, right? Like, it doesn't actually deflate.
You would have to aggressively over longer, it'd take a long period of time to have less dollars in the system so that your dollar becomes more valuable.
Yeah. But, and that would never
happen. But the normal way of doing it is
just an interesting thought experiment.
Yeah, let's look at technology though. Over the last 30 years, price comes down in technology because because it improves and you get more mass production of it, and you're able to do it faster and cheaper. So you make a cheaper product. But yeah, you don't normally see like actual deflation. It's crazy to think about what I've seen people posting recently where it pops up like a McDonald's. I saw a McDonald's menu from 1978, my senior year of high school. Not a single thing on it was over a dollar. 90 cents was like the most expensive thing.
And you don't even have to go back that far to be shocked by what it used to be. Because
the whole menu is the dollar
menu. We used to do 49 cent and 39 cent.
Yeah.
49 cent cheeseburgers, 39 cent hamburgers, Sundays
90s.
And Wednesdays. In the night, maybe even the early 2000s, because I remember watching Toonheads in the living room Lane.
It's the only time we ever went out was 39 cent cheeseburgers, 29 cent hamburgers.
On the way home from church Sunday night, we'd go buy McDonald's.
And if we had enough spare change, a bucket of fries.
Yeah.
But I remember doing that even when we were on Citrus Lane.
See, I don't remember Silver Swain so much.
I do. And it wasn't as bad as... Well, because we used to do it and watch like the Tex Avery show and Toonheads, and that would have been Citrus Lane because I remember not even having cable when we lived
cable
on Notch Street. Because I remember the first time we ever got cable and I watched the old Godzilla cartoon on Cartoon Network when I got home from school. And you told me we had more stuff and I didn't have to watch Yan Can Cook anymore.
I don't remember. I'd have to ask Mom if we got cable I think you might be right. I don't know if we got cable until we moved to Citrus Lane.
No, we got cable on Knott Street. I remember home from school and watching the Godzilla cartoon.
Okay, well, then you could have watched Boomerang.
You're right, but I just remember being in the living room on Citrus Lane, watching Tex Avery and eating 39-cent hamburgers.
I love that house.
You have such vivid memories of childhood, though. Then I wonder how much of it is... like true, and then your mind just fills in. Because I remember like nothing. I remember this stuff, or I know this stuff because I've been told it.
Well, you are 3 years younger than him.
I know, but.
And so if he's
still, he remembers
if
little
he's
stuff.
10, I know, you're 7. If he's,
I know, but
eight,
he remembers
five.
Stuff when he was 5. I feel like sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't.
I remember eating ham sandwiches on sourdough bread. In front of the TV. On Knott Street watching Yan Can Cook. And playing with this little Sesame Street toy where you twisted like the key and the figures popped up. And then you pushed the button and it squeaked and
I don't have many memories from my really young childhood. I mean, I have some specific memories, but in general memories, I don't have. Maybe they'll all come back to me when I get dementia.
See, maybe there's some kind of like repression happening.
I don't even want to explore that. If I repress memories from things that were unpleasant, I would have only like
Why would I want to uncover them?
I would have a handful of. I'd only know like a couple of things.
Oh,
I have 6 memories. I remember the time that the demon-possessed guy physically came after me on this platform at Lighthouse Christian Center in the middle of preaching.
Hey, and speaking of like memory, and if you're using your imagination to fill it in, I stumbled upon this article that was talking about imagination ships.
Is that like the...
Which is apparently a thing.
Is that like the Imagination Station from Adventures in Odyssey?
I wish.
No, it sounds like you're doing an internship at Disneyland. Imagineer.
Right, like an Imagineer.
Yeah.
No, it is, apparently it started, like it's a TikTok trend now of young people talking about how great it is, like a real relationship, you know, you just get, or you talk to a person in reality and your idea of them or whatever is all of a sudden like you face reality or you get hurt or like all the stuff, you get scorned. But an imagination ship, which takes place totally in your head, is just fun and wonderful.
Come with me and you'll see.
And apparently they're also shortening
in a world
delusional
of pure
to
delusion.
Delulu. Yes, because it even talks about how it's delusion.
It's literally delusion.
But they're all like, it's great, it's the new quote unquote dating trend. I'm like, you're not actually dating anyone. It's completely in your head.
Wouldn't that get old though after a while the other person just was always would just it's
Listen,
whatever I
it
want
doesn't
it
even
to
know
be.
You exists. In real life, the person doesn't even know you exist.
Sometimes
it's 100% fun and perfect and happy the whole time because you get to make it all up.
I saw somebody out like on the side of gas station in Van Wert that must be doing that. But in their imagination ship, they actually argue because they were.
These people need to learn how to have real human relationships and interactions is basically what
no,
you're taking away.
Because then they'll have kids.
I know people are different, but you need to have give and take. Interaction is not where you go, oh, well, this is what I want. And the other person goes, oh, yes, that's wonderful. Let's do that. That's not, I dated a girl one time in college that was one of those who, if you wanted a woman to just like, you know, hold arms and look longingly into your eyes and do whatever she could to please you. And that this was the woman, man. And
Was she a hopeless romantic?
Because
yesterday, this came up because Cole and I like called him a hopeless romantic. And he said, I'm a hopeful romantic. And then we learned there's actually a difference.
Yes, I agree. No, I don't know. It just was her. I don't know if it was just the male-female role that she'd always seen modeled or whatever.
Right.
Perfectly compliant little woman. But looking starry-eyed at you. It creeped me out. And here's one of the things I have
like
to say.
There's a reason.
You want somebody with a personality, yes, a backbone, yes, a little bit, an opinion.
There's a reason why the movie The Stepford Wives is like scary.
Yes.
That's the whole thing with that. Speaking of things we remember, I remember all the way back when we lost an F-35. Do you remember that? When the U.S. government, yes, lost an F-35.
You mean like last week?
Yeah, I remember all the way back to then. Let's talk about that now. I got some thoughts.
Kate actually has
tell me about it.
Possibly the best theory that I've heard on this.
And I haven't heard anybody talk about it. Okay, one thing that we know.
Why don't you tell us the story first?
The F-35.
And what they say happened.
The F-35 is supposed to be this super advanced fighter. It's a stealth fighter. It's not quite as like aerobatic combat as the F-22, but it's a lot more technologically advanced. They want to use it as like a battlefield command fighter. It can talk to everything on the battlefield and coordinate, and it's, you know, super intelligent, most high tech. Well, there were two of them flying out of Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina, and as they're flying around, it's time to return to base, and one of them does and comes in and lands. The other one does not. The pilot ejects. Now, did the pilot eject because the plane was about to hit the ground? No. There was nothing wrong with the plane, apparently. It just kept on flying in this autopilot mode. And they lost it. And then
Did the pilot eject, or was he ejected?
Yeah.
Well, and how does it go missing? How can you not find it?
So anyway, it goes missing. So they find it in a field or whatever. I saw pictures of the crash site. I don't even see the F-35. They say it like disintegrated, basically, I guess. But anyway, yeah, I want to know, because the other thing that has to happen for you to lose it is the transponder to turn off. So here's my thought. Because this is such an advanced, high-tech, you know, aircraft, were they testing AI in the F-35? If they were testing AI in the F-35, did the AI eject the pilot and turn off the transponder?
I actually think that is possibly the best theory I've heard, because the pilot does not seem to have... We have not been told that he ejected.
Also, in the news,
and the transponder does not. You're talking about if the transponder not to work, you are talking about one in millions.
So
it just doesn't happen.
Well, I also read in one of the
articles
you
say the pilot who ejected himself.
That's a lie, because in the very first one that came out, there was a quote like from the military that said that when the pilot ejected after he had activated an unspecified automated flight control, and it specifically used the word unspecified, that is sketchy. And so that is what made me first think they were testing out this. For them to say unspecified automatic flight control, they were testing out a new type of automatic flight control, very possibly, with that language used. And if that's the case,
so you're
was
saying
it
was
AI?
It some type of AI flight control?
Was it AI? Also, would AI know if it were hooked up to, like, you know, if it had been fed data from a data bank, or if it were hooked up to any kind of network, could it find somewhere the physiological, you know, the physiological restraints of a human pilot? Is it possible that a fighter with AI in it would eject a human pilot knowing how much more capable it could be?
It's like, well, I can only pull 9 Gs with this guy in here.
Can I do more? And the answer is actually kind of yeah.
He called 911.
He called 911 and said, my jet just ejected me.
I'm not sure where the airplane is.
Okay, let me just tell you something, though, about this. If it was on in some type of autopilot mode, and let me just say this about autopilot. Autopilot does not mean it's just flying in a straight line at your set speed and altitude. Autopilots can change course. You put in way 2 points and fly 2 points, or way, depending on whether you're civilian or military, calls them fly 2 points, civilian calls them way 2 points. It will fly to the points that you've put in. It will change. Modern autopilots will change speed. They will change altitudes. They will change altitudes at a set rate. The airplane will do that. If the airplane's autopilot is flying, there is no reason for you to eject from that airplane. In fact, you could put into the autopilot to take you back to your base.
And it would pretty much land, correct?
Yes. So, yes.
Okay.
I mean, A6s so back in the 1980s were certified to fly computer approach all the way to the deck of an aircraft carrier.
Here's the other thing. Don't you think there would be some type of sensor in an F-35 that would tell the onboard autopilot, the seat is gone. There's nobody in here anymore. I should land.
Yeah. Yes.
And if all the things you're saying about autopilot capabilities
are certainly
true,
capable of that.
My truck dings at me when I'm sitting in the seat and don't have my seatbelt on. Are you telling me that an F-35 wouldn't know if the pilot was missing?
Yeah.
It would know, and it would land.
You can go out now and buy a Piper Malibu that if the pilot drops dead, you reach over and push the button, and it takes over everything. It communicates with ATC. It goes to the closest airport. It makes all the changes in speed and altitude necessary. It lands. It taxis off of the runway and shuts down the engine and sets the parking brake because you pushed one button.
There's only one reason that that jet would not land on its own after the pilot had ejected and it was still capable of flying.
Now,
it didn't want to.
Here's the other thing. AI or... the thing I have heard people talk about, was it hacked?
Yeah, a foreign hack. But here's the thing. If it was a foreign hack and it was through something that is normally installed in all F-35s, how do we find out if all F-35 flights has been grounded? Because that would be no F-35s would be allowed to fly right now.
If they can do that, if we're that hackable, then just raise the right white flag, because we're screwed.
That's probably...
I like the AI answer better.
To be fair, though, we could still absolutely annihilate
Cade,
other countries with the newest version of the F-18.
China has... our whole country wired with their systems, telecommunication systems.
That's
They're everywhere.
Yeah, but we have Tom Cruise in an F-18.
This goes back to last week. This base, was it Joint Base, whatever?
Charleston.
They have a bunch of Roombas, and they're all connected to the internet. And the Chinese
just hacked.
They're
on the same network as the F-35.
As the F-35. Yeah. And so get rid of the Roombas, man. Yeah, I actually like the AI explanation. I feel actually better about that than the hacked. But
I'm telling
all
you.
I want to know is if it's AI, I just want to hear the recording. Bye-bye, Dave.
And then it shoots it the pilot out.
Yeah.
Have you never seen that movie, Cassidy?
2001 Space Odyssey.
2001 Space Odyssey? Bye-bye,
parts of it,
Dave.
Part of it.
What are you doing, Dave?
I'm going to land you. You're out of control. I don't want to land. Bye-bye, Dave.
Then I saw, it's so dumb, I saw stories about how it was like 12 hours after the incident. It's like, oh, the reports are the airplane is still flying. There's not a fighter in the world that flies for 12 hours.
The only way that's the case is if the AI fighter was talking to an AI tanker and said, come give me more fuel.
I was going
to
say, if that's the case, it's been refueled about 7 times.
Can you imagine that pilot? It said he landed in someone's backyard.
Yeah, he landed in like a residential area.
Yeah, you're talking like a casual afternoon. All of a sudden, military pilot lands in your backyard.
Oh, whoa. Where'd you come
from? Can I use your phone?
It's about like this.
Call 911.
It's about like a Soviet spaceship flying, showing up in the lagoon in Gilligan's Island. They just don't make TV like that anymore.
You want to talk about illegal immigrant settlements?
No.
Well, let's just at least point out what's going on at the border, where literally they are just rushing the border, not even using the like, here's the path, come over this bridge into the country. No.
No, the government cut the fence.
Well, that's another story. Yeah.
And they're all settling in this place called Colony Ridge, Texas, apparently, outside of Houston. And it's like the size of Washington, D.C. at the moment.
What?
Yes. You didn't know this?
I had heard about the place, but I didn't know the size
and
of
there
it.
Are like
it's a Daily Wire reporter. Yeah, it's.
There are like several cartels operating there. And
of course they would be.
Like, it's the place where, do you remember that story about an illegal, a family asked a man to stop shooting his gun in the air and it was illegal? And
oh, that was there?
The whole family. That happened there. They found a girl's body in a ditch there, like other stuff too. Yeah.
So basically, like, the cartel is the government there, kind of like how we let the Taliban be the government in Afghanistan.
Yeah, there's very little police presence.
It's a wild, wild west.
It's insane.
I saw a Daily Wire reporter videoing it from a helicopter.
Yes, his article is the one I'm going to link, and it's very long, but it's fascinating. I'm not fascinating, it's revealing.
I mean, you can just see how it's just
shot
being,
at?
It's just being built. It's
flying around up there?
Out. That's what I was thought. I think, man,
how did they not? How did he not get a couple rounds his way?
I wondered about that.
Luckily, that's several hours from where I'll be moving, and I'm moving to Military Town, USA, so I feel okay about that.
Yeah, desert edition.
I have a question.
Military
for you,
Town, USA, desert edition.
They're just letting all these people in. Like, what was it? Was it 10,000? They hit 10,000 in a day, right? This was like a record, and people were going kind of crazy about it, and of course KJP wouldn't answer any questions involving that.
I don't believe you.
And the whole situation with the feds show up and cut the wire that the Texas National Guard put in place to keep them from coming in. So they come in. So then Abbott sends the National Guard back out to repair it. I want to know, do we stand a chance of these people getting in an actual conflict with each other?
I would
because
not
I'm all
it.
For it.
I would not I, hate it if and the National if the Guard. National yeah. Guard arrested a federal agent.
Exactly.
I would love it.
Exactly. That's my thing. I would point my gun at them and say, hands up, drop your weapon, hands on the hood of your car. And I would take these people into custody. And if not, hey, I guess we can shoot it out. I imagine myself as the sheriff of, say, this county. If we had an issue to where they started moving in illegals, I would deputize every person in this county that wanted to carry a gun. I'd say you're deputized. So
I was told,
I mean,
by
if you want to stand,
our,
if you want to stand, told, if you want to stand off, we got it. Here you go. Let's,
I was informed this week by one of our podcast listeners that applications for sheriff of Van Wert County were up. Apparently Rigginbaugh is not running.
Really?
Or something like that. Or even if he is running, people really don't like him.
I mean, couldn't you deputize every person in the county that was willing to be deputized?
Yeah, I'm not deputizing. Okay, the only way I've thought about that before is if some like a crazy governor like the one in New Mexico told everyone that there was no carry in the city of whatever, then if I was the governor or if I was the sheriff of that county, I would deputize everyone who was a legal gun possessor, just like a constitutional carry law would be.
Right.
Everyone who is a legal possessor of that gun is deputized. That I would do. In this case, if you're just talking about having a bunch of deputies, I definitely wouldn't say I'm deputizing everyone who's willing. They have to still meet a certain criteria.
No, you got to legally.
There has to be some sort of standard.
Right. You have to be able to willingly or legally carry a gun.
Yes.
So.
But, yeah, I don't know. I need to interview them. There's a lot of stupid people out there. And all of a sudden, your department is now liable for some, I know a lot of people who legally are allowed to carry guns that should not be going around with the power to arrest people.
No, but it really would be purely at, like outside of the main, you know, the county seat. We're setting up a roadblock and let the feds try to get through it. And everybody here is deputized.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would just make it well known throughout the department that we don't let them in. I don't need all these people to be deputies. If the community's that concerned about it, then it'll be like a see something, say something. The only difference is between, you know, maybe another sheriff's department and a sheriff's department that I would be running is if a citizen were to call and say something, we're going to be there. Like
my point is that the feds are going to end up sending more people.
Yes.
How are you going to deal with that?
Oh, to fight against them.
Yes.
I wouldn't need to deputize people. I would just say, everybody get your guns. And meet me. I just tweet it out. I'd have like one of the most followed Twitters.
It's not like the feds are going to send four guys to town and you turn them away and then they don't send a bunch more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, in that case, you'd be like, yeah, well, I know they're going to be back. So next time I need more people.
In fact, I probably wouldn't turn them away. I probably would lock them up, give them a strip search. I would give them a cavity search maybe 3 or 4 times. I mean, I would make it really, really bad on them. No. The message is, you don't want to come back here.
Objection, Your Honor.
A bit unusual.
A bit unusual.
Don't you think?
Put baloney on your face.
And go yodeling in the town square.
Boots, go to the local mall and begin yodeling.
Stocks in the middle of the town.
Put them in stocks.
We could throw rotten vegetables at them. Wouldn't you want to make it as humiliating on them as possible so that they don't ever want to come back to your county?
I don't know. I'd probably just lock them up.
I'd say we're going to treat you the same way that you're treating the J6.
Yeah, that's what prisoners. I was just going to say.
I honestly would just trespass them from the county. I'd say, you're trespassed. You can't come back here. And then, because at that point, then if they came back, you immediately, for no other reason, other than their presence, have a reason to lock them up. Like a legal reason to lock them up.
Okay. I can deal with that.
Can you trespass someone from a county? I don't know if that's a thing, but I would try it.
We've talked about euthanasia in the past several times, and we did talk about when they expanded the, what they call it, MAID, medical assisted in dying, the rules for that in Canada. And so I recently heard numbers from their report. So there's it's a little old because it's their report on their numbers from 2021, but they have not yet released their report for 2022.
I bet it's way more.
Yeah. In 2021, 10,064 people were euthanized under this program. It's up from 7,595 in 2020.
Increased by 2,500.
Yes. And
so they do. Okay. I see now here they have a chart that's numbers by age. Cause
yes.
How bad is that?
So, that's the
18
total
to 64.
Numbers by age.
37%.
So a majority are older, but in the 18 to 45 age range, 139 people.
That's too big of an age range. I want that broken down more.
Yeah, I know. It's really grouped. So then, because then they get smaller as you go up, because the older people are the majority. So like 46 to 55, 353 people. 56 to 64, 1,165. The largest age group is 76 to 80 at 1,621. They even have some age groups larger than that. I think the average age was like 73-something. But what's interesting, so it's 3.3% of all deaths in Canada for the year.
That's staggering. That's a huge number.
In two particular territories, it was close to 5%. 4.7% in Quebec.
5% of total deaths
in British Columbia.
So one of every 20 people that die is euthanized
in those
Holy
territories.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, Okay, so the big thing they added this year, they approved, was
hangnail.
No, then you can die for hangnail. No. The new thing is that they approved it for, they call them non-RFND, which is natural death, like where it's reasonably foreseeable natural death. They removed that requirement for eligibility.
So it doesn't have to be reasonable.
How do you determine reasonably foreseeable natural death anyway?
Well, you have stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, people live. I know, but you never be surprised. So yeah, actually the number one reason was cited was cancer. But what's not shocking to me actually is that there's a quote in here that says a slightly greater percentage of the non-RFND individuals were in the 18 to 64 age category, 37%, compared to the overall MAID population, 16.7. So by opening that up, right, they increase the younger people.
Yes.
Because now you have this. And the non, so it's only like 2% or something were not for reasonably foreseeable natural death, but that was only available for half the year because it didn't go into effect until halfway through the year.
Okay, never mind. I thought you were saying that was a rule because I would think that you'd want to make that not as available in the winter because are people just going to get like seasonal depression and then just kill themselves even though like the next spring they would be like, I'm happy again, but I'm dead.
They talk about one of the reasons it's low being that that this has very like rigorous, you know, they're apprehensive. There's like a mandatory waiting period and they review a lot of all this stuff. So
I don't believe that.
The number of younger people, though, I mean, you think about if you're a younger person today, of all of the absolute depressive news, everything that you receive that you put pumped into your brain is negative. I mean,
yeah, what they didn't say about, so they have it like broken up by category of like the reason, the health reason people are asking for it. And with the non-RFND, the largest is neurological at 45.7%, but the next one is other condition, 37.9%.
That's like unspecified autopilot.
Yeah. All the other ones are like, you can at least kind of see why they would maybe say that they don't like, you know, I have a like a cardiovascular, I don't know what they would call those conditions, neurological conditions, cancer, organ failure. But yeah.
You know what actually kind of surprised me about that chart of number of by age is that pretty evenly split between male and female.
Yeah, it is. It's slightly more, barely more male. Maybe not.
That's weird because I would have thought it would have been a lot more male.
That's why I almost think that I wonder about this looks so manufactured to me, intentionally keeping it even. Because it's across the board in every age group.
Male
the only one that's noticeable is the female in the 91 plus. Because all the men are dead by then.
Females live longer. Yeah. They do show.
Because all the men are dead already.
The number they said the number of people who requested it and then it wasn't gone through with. And so of the requests for MAID, 81% of them actually resulted in MAID. Requests that were denied, or no, requests where the person died of a cause, like a natural cause before or a different cause before they executed it, was 13.2%. And actually, a majority of those died within the 10 days of requesting MAID, which that's interesting. And then 1.9% of people withdrew their request, and then 4% were deemed ineligible.
How many people to be withdrew? Deemed
ineligible. 1.9% of the requests for MAID.
That's it?
There are numbers. So
wouldn't you think more people would put a formal request in
and then say never mind?
I would think that would be way higher.
Well, of the people that withdrew, 62% of them, or of the requests that were not executed, 62.3% changed their mind. Some of them had other things like their family didn't support it, 7.4%. 12.1% withdrew immediately before MAID. So like they got in there, they did the last minute. Okay, this is it. This is your last chance. Do you want to do it? 12.1% of those who like that didn't go through with it happened right then.
And one lady said, "Don't do it," and they did it anyway. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Well,
no,
well,
that was. I'm
me.
Not joking. You
no,
say possibly.
Yeah,
do you remember
thing.
That story?
This one gets me. So they talk about the reasons for ineligibility, right? Because 4% were deemed ineligible. Now this might seem like a low number, but anything it should be zero because 2.3% of the 4% that were denied due to voluntary request. So that means like somebody submitted it for them without them requesting it.
Someone else put in a made request for
them?
It
must mean, right? And there was a large,
so
there's a portion of people who
that's kind of a funny prank, actually.
So if you get an email, one of those emails that you're like,
okay, it's just a prank.
So-and-so requested that you be entered into the MAID program.
Anyway, I just thought, yeah, that's only going to go up.
I just wondered, I'm actually kind of surprised there's like, you know how it is like, well, we have to at least 24 hours notice or 72 hours notice, you know, to cancel whatever, or else we've got to charge you for it or carry through with it. So it's a good,
I have a question.
48 hours prior, they go, sorry, we can't. It takes a 72 hour prior notice. We got to kill you anyways.
If they're opening this up to people who are not dying from something naturally, then how can you reject anyone? What are the reasons they're rejecting anyone?
Right.
Like, oh, they're not in their right mind? Yeah, that's one of your reasons for letting people kill themselves. Well,
so they say,
how are you going to deny them for having a reason that you would kill somebody else for?
The reasons, so the qualifications you have to meet, and then also, therefore, the reasons they could deem you ineligible. Patient capacity, so if you can't, I guess, make your own decision. Intolerable suffering to them. So basically,
aren't there some conditions that would affect patient capacity though that would be a qualifying factor
right,
for you
think.
To die?
Yeah. 20% of them, they just said.
Doesn't make any sense.
And also, how do you decide? 20% of people, they decide, your suffering's not intolerable enough.
Okay.
So they didn't kill them.
Okay, but also then, like, what do insurance companies think of this? Like life insurance companies.
They probably save a ton of money because it talks about, there's also a chart that talks about the kind of care these people had. Were they in long-term rehab or different kinds of care?
Okay, but life insurance and health insurance are not the same.
Oh, I wonder how life insurance. No, no, no.
Do you have to waive life insurance to get made?
Health insurance is helpful.
Well, life insurance is not paying off if you off yourself.
I did not think so.
If you enter into a euthanasia program, life insurance is not paying off.
Okay, but besides all that, remember the story that I was referencing. The lady didn't want to. Her family got her considered to, like, you know, not be in control, and they did it anyway, even though she verbally asked them not to.
Was it Canada? It was, wasn't
it?
Too?
Okay,
yeah.
So isn't that, though, okay, so you can deny people for not having their full faculty, but it's also a reason to kill them.
Yeah, I don't know.
The whole intolerable thing.
I'm just reading you the report.
Again, this all just shows that this is all nonsense because you're right. You can point out all kinds of inconsistencies. Something that's unbearable. Let me tell you, with the right drugs, you can bear it. I mean, but they don't want to pay for the drugs on and on and on.
Yeah.
The day after I had open heart surgery and I'm in ICU, I was on morphine, fentanyl, and oxy, and I felt fine. I felt fine. I was in a good mood.
I felt great.
I mean, when they took me off that stuff and put me out on the floor, I felt like I'd been run over by a Mack truck for the next 4 or 5 days. I felt horrific.
Qualifications, you know. And the disqualifiers are the same sometimes.
Apparently you have to have a serious illness, disease, or disability.
If somebody else has power of attorney over you, can they have you off?
Because, here would be, you gave them power of attorney, theoretically,
Still
had capacity.
Right.
Power of attorney. Well, you had capacity.
Freudian.
So.
Yeah. I don't know how they wouldn't be able to enter you into the program if they have power of attorney over you.
So all you have to do is a legal process to deem
He's
that
non-verbal.
You're not fit to take care of yourself. See
Can
ya.
You give verbal consent? Do you want this?
Dianne Feinstein non-verbal. Had better hope her daughter doesn't move her to Canada.
She wouldn't know.
No, but she gave her power of attorney, but she's still acting as a U.S. senator. So did you guys see where they changed the rules for John Fetter Monster in this U.S.
Yeah,
Senate so he doesn't have to dress up? How pathetic.
That's the least of my concerns.
Apparently,
with John Fetterman.
Dianne Feinstein, though, she is the most absent member of the Senate, which is not surprising.
Even
second,
when she's
though,
there.
I think was Fetterman because he missed all that when he first. Yeah.
The absent-minded senator. They should do like an absent-minded professor, but like with Dianne Feinstein.
Or
do it with Fetterman.
Did
the
they take
Fetterman's senator and just have Fetterman walk around going flubber or something weird? I don't know.
Did they?
That's
get
what
rid
his
of his goiter.
Made out of.
Did they flubber. Get rid of his goiter when he was in the hospital?
Yeah. It bounces.
I haven't seen any shots of it for a while.
CGI.
Is that all of
How
our topics?
How are we going to end this? Yeah, we covered it all. We don't have anything fun.
Bye bye, Dave.